Waiting on a tax return? Hopefully it ends up in your hands. Fraudulent tax returns due to identity theft increased by 30% in 2023. If you're in a bind this tax season, LifeLock can help. Our U.S.-based restoration specialists are experts dedicated to helping solve your identity theft issues. And all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. So we'll reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. Help protect your information this tax season with LifeLock. Save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/aware.
This is True Crime Psychology and Personality, where we discuss the pathology behind some of the most horrific crimes and those who committed them from a scientifically informed perspective.
I'm Dr. Todd Grande. I have a PhD in counselor education and supervision, and I'm a licensed professional counselor of mental health. Dr. Todd Grande, that's my YouTube channel.
Today's question is, can I analyze the case of Beverly and Ari Liggett? First, I'll look at the background of this case, move to the timeline of the crime, then offer my analysis. Beverly Liggett was born on October 1, 1956, and lived in the state of Colorado. She was diagnosed with bipolar disorder and had difficulty functioning at times. Beverly married and had a son named Ari and a daughter named Livia. Later, Beverly divorced and raised her two children in Centennial, Colorado, which is a suburb of Denver. Eventually, Beverly found a lover named Seth. They intended to get married someday. Starting at the age of 5, Beverly's son Ari manifested various symptoms of mental illness. He never engaged in pretend play, which is when a child plays as if something or someone is real. It is considered an important part of healthy development. Ari did not interact with other children. He did not appear to have any interest in doing so. Family members said that he never interacted with people in a normal fashion. His sister would have to warn her friends about Ari's behavior. He could become angry for no reason. Ari would pace back and forth incessantly. He also talked to himself constantly. Despite having anger, there were no signs of violence in the beginning. But over time, that changed. Ari's family tried to help him. He was assessed and treated by mental health professionals. Eventually, he was diagnosed with schizophrenia and autism spectrum disorder. Ari was involuntarily committed to mental hospitals at least 6 different times over the course of a few years. Despite struggling with various symptoms, Ari remained functional in a number of ways. For example, he graduated from high school and briefly attended the University of Colorado. In 2009, Ari developed an obsession with chemicals. His mother discovered him mixing chemicals in the backyard in 2010. The police searched the house and found pieces of several guns and a homemade silencer. Ari was charged with felony possession of a dangerous weapon. He received a suspended sentence. At another time, he was arrested for making threats against his mother and his sister. His family tried to connect him with a therapist, but Ari was becoming increasingly angry, uncooperative, and unpredictable. Ari's mother was frustrated with him. She did not know what to do to help him. At the same time, she wanted to move on with her life. Beverly was making plans to marry her boyfriend, which would have left Ari on his own. Now moving to the timeline of the crime. Sometime around October 12, 2012, Ari managed to get his mother to ingest potassium cyanide when they were in the family house. Beverly died as a result. Ari spent about 24 hours dismembering her body. A handsaw would later be found in the dishwasher. Blood was found in the freezer and in the bathtub. Ari placed his mother's remains into large plastic containers and put the containers in her Honda CR-V. He then departed the residence, apparently intending to dispose of her body somewhere. Beverly was reported missing to the police on October 14. 3 days later, on October 17, the police spotted Beverly's Honda CR-V in a suburb of Denver called Greenwood Village. Ari was driving the vehicle. The police initiated a traffic stop. They told Ari to turn the vehicle off and place his hands through the window. Ari had something else in mind. He drove away from the police. When he tried to make a right turn, he lost control of the vehicle and smashed it into a concrete wall. Ari exited the vehicle and ran, with the police in pursuit. He eventually surrendered and was handcuffed on the ground. Before the police searched Beverly's SUV, Ari made a number of statements. Here are a few examples. Quote, "I can't tell right from wrong. I'm insane. My psychiatrist will confirm it," unquote. Quote, "Hey guys, I've just got a simple question. If I can convince you that there's not probable cause that I'm sane, do you press criminal charges?" Unquote. Quote, "I think I'm God. I've thought so for years," unquote. Quote, "I think breaking most laws is the right thing to do," unquote. Ari went on to say that he thought everyone could read his mind. He could see the past and future and change shapes. He said something about how people could use their minds to control emotions. Ari then said, quote, "I think that the whole world is a conspiracy out to get me because I'm the only person who can't do a number of those things," unquote. The police found Beverly's remains in her Honda CR-V. They took Ari back to the police station and interviewed him. Ari continued to make statements to the police. A few examples. Quote, "I've been a victim of society my whole life. Ever since I was little, I felt that everyone has basically all the powers of God. They can shape change to the past and future anywhere, anytime. I think it's possible that I'm the only one who doesn't have those powers yet," unquote. He also said, quote, "I think that breaking a lot of laws is the right thing to do," unquote. When the police asked Ari about his mother, he said that she may have brought an end to her own life by ingesting potassium cyanide. He blamed her bipolar disorder for this decision. Ari said that he found his mother dead and panicked. He knew that his supply of money would be cut off with Beverly gone. He decided to cover up her death in order to use her credit cards and checks. So, when he found his mother dead, he decided that committing other crimes would be a good idea. Ari claimed that he had telepathically contacted two men to help him dismember his mother's body. They came over and assisted in the process. Ari refused to identify them, only saying that he met them in jail. The police mentioned that they found the potassium cyanide in the refrigerator. Ari said that it would have been impossible for him to put a lethal dose of potassium cyanide in Beverly's food because she would have noticed the strong odor and the strong taste. The police implied that Ari may have killed Beverly because she was getting ready to marry and he would be on his own. Ari denied that his financial position would have been worsened by his mother getting married. As the interview continued, Ari indicated that he was upset with his mother because she would not help him with his mental illness. She always tried to get him to go to a mental hospital, which evidently he did not view as helpful. Ari said, quote, "I wanted out of that house very, very, very badly. I'm not her son, you know. I'm her victim. I've been trying to press charges on her for years. I believe she's a shape changer who is willfully giving in to evil," unquote. At another point in the interview, Ari claimed that his mental health clinicians could prove that he had a completely inculpable state of mind for a few months. A police officer asked Ari what that meant to him. He replied, quote, "It means I'm not criminally liable," unquote. Ari Liggett was charged with murder. He pleaded not guilty by reason of insanity. Later, a mental health professional declared him to be sane. In November of 2014, Ari was found guilty of first-degree murder. He was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm an American vigilante. I have a question for you. What would you do if someone you cared about was abducted, taken from you? Would you call me? would you care about how I got them back? Download American Vigilante now.
Now moving to my analysis, here are my thoughts in a few areas that stood out to me in this case. Item number one, what was going on with Ari Wiggett's mental health? As I mentioned, he was diagnosed with schizophrenia and autism spectrum disorder. Schizophrenia is characterized by hallucinations, delusions, diminished emotional expression, disorganized speech, and disorganized behavior. Most people with schizophrenia are not dangerous, but the disorder is associated with an increased risk of committing violent crime. People with the disorder are about 5 times more likely to commit violent offenses than people without the disorder. Autism spectrum disorder is characterized by deficits in social communication and restrictive, repetitive types of behavior, interest, or activities. Just like schizophrenia, most people with this disorder are not dangerous. However, there is an increased risk of violence. A person with autism spectrum disorder is roughly twice as likely to commit an act of violence than a person without the disorder. Item number two, many crimes associated with mental illness are based on impulsiveness, but Ari planned his crime for quite some time. He worked with chemicals, apparently trying to get the right mixture. In addition, it seems clear that he thought about what would happen if he was caught. He came up with a mental health defense, which is evident in many of the statements he made to the police. For example, I'm not criminally liable, I can't tell right from wrong, I've been a victim of society my whole life, and quote, my views of right and wrong are very different from society. I believe for me to commit most crimes against most people is the right thing to do, unquote. In addition, Ari denied committing the crime. He had the story about how he found his mother dead and panicked. Item number three, some people believe that Ari was faking his mental illness based on the statements he made to the police. There is this notion that if somebody tries to use their mental illness to escape responsibility, they must not be mentally ill. This theory is not supported by evidence. Many people who are mentally ill and commit crimes try to use the mental illness to escape consequences. It is an obvious connection that they are making. When people who are mentally ill do this, it doesn't prove that they don't have legitimate mental health symptoms. It only proves that they have some understanding of how the criminal justice system views diminished responsibility. Ari had a long history of being diagnosed with mental disorders. I would be very surprised if he was faking it. I think what happened in this case is that Ari understood how his mental illness could be used as a defense. He incorrectly believed that he would not be punished, which made it easier for him to give in to his homicidal ideation. While Ari's statements may appear to indicate a sophisticated tactic, he really didn't do a good job defending himself. If he really wanted to be found legally insane, saying the words, "I can't tell right from wrong," was not going to help his case. The best way to appear legally insane is for a person to insist that they are not insane. Item number four, when looking at the various statements that Ari made, there was a theme that emerged, which is not uncommon among people suffering from schizophrenia. He believed that other people had power that he didn't. For example, he thought they had the power to change shape, read minds, influence events, and see the future. Ari said, quote, "With everyone's power, it doesn't make any sense to repress people like me who are possessed by demons and haven't been able to tap into those powers," unquote. In addition to being directed by dominion-draining demons, there is this sense that Ari felt like an outsider. He lacked the ability to be as special as other people. It also appears as though Ari may have perceived threats that did not exist. For example, when talking about his mother, he said, quote, "Every tone, every gesture was meant to humiliate, repress, and weaken me," unquote. Item number five, what do I think happened in this case? This is just a theory, my opinion. It seems as though Ari suffered from psychosis and constantly felt as though he was under threat. When he realized that his mother, Beverly, was going to get married and leave him on his own, he became furious. He came up with a homicidal plan in order to get revenge and to gain access to his mother's money. Ari was hoping to avoid getting caught, but he wasn't too worried because he believed his mental illness would shield him from prosecution. Beverly loved her son. She would have done just about anything for him. She tried to help him for many years without success. By the fall of 2012, Beverly just wanted to move on with her life. There was nothing else that she could do for her son. She did not realize that he was trying to kill her, even though he had a long history of working with dangerous chemicals. Beverly refused to believe that her son could harm her. Even at the time of her death, she believed in him. Now moving to my final thoughts. One of the main symptoms of severe mental disorders is a lack of insight. The individual with the disorder is unable to understand the true nature of their mental illness. It appears as though Ari understood something about legal insanity, but it's clear he did not understand much about himself. He wanted to do something wrong and used his mental illness to justify the bad actions. This proved that he knew the difference between right and wrong, which means his conviction and his sentence were fair. This does not prove that he wasn't mentally ill. A person can be mentally ill, but not legally insane. This is one of the better examples of how this is possible. It is also one of the most frightening examples of how, in rare instances, mental health symptoms can facilitate the commission of unusual and horrific crimes.
This has been True Crime Psychology and Personality from Ars Longa Media. This content is for educational and entertainment purposes only. Ars Longa, Vita Brevis.
Ohio is a land of mystery, from missing shipwrecks and lost treasure beneath her surface to strange phenomena slicing through her skies. From myths that have evolved around historic events and people to the unsolved murders and disappearances that keep her communities wondering what happened. Find Ohio Mysteries on your favorite podcast app and let's explore the inexplicable. OhioMysteries.com.